It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only,
I mean, could you imagine a twin?
Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. Ready or not, here we come. I'm not sure about this, you guys. Wednesday, May 13th, 2026, and we have Andrea Hellert and Brandon Bowers in the studio. Of course, Andrea is CEO at the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce. And, whoa, where's Andrea going? You can't hear? Oh, that's over. Okay, you got the stuff down there. There you go. Can you hear me now? She can hear me now. All right. I always have to hear you, Andrea. There you are. And Brandon, how are you?
I'm good.
Is that a jacket? No, you're just wearing long sleeves.
The man in black.
On a 100-degree day.
Oh, just my two teenagers were wearing hoodies today. I don't know what they're thinking, but that's a thing.
Crazy. Anyway, we're broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. You can find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. And we have a new sponsor today. Wait till you hear who it is, you guys. It's pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's on. They're on Main Street. It's a business.
All right.
Of course.
Got a few of those.
How is business, by the way?
Business is great.
This is technically your hour.
Oh, for Chamber?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on in the Chamber. I think we're talking about the candidate forum today, though, right?
We are. We could talk about whatever you like.
Okay,
but,
I
course,
love it.
The Chamber, Radio Central, and today's News Herald are partners on this project.
Yes,
every
sir.
2 years, is it? Since this is a midterm.
Yeah.
Feels like more frequent than that, but yeah, I think it's every 2 years.
Yeah.
I know. I always say, we do this every year, but we don't. So anyway, is everything in place as far as you're concerned, Andrea?
As far as the candidates? Yeah, so we've received, so we have mayoral candidates, formal mayoral candidates set. We also have all of the city council candidates, save one. I haven't received a response yet from Sam Scomardo.
Oh.
And then I'm still waiting to hear back from, I've heard from two LD30 candidates, and then I'm just waiting on a few additional ones.
Sam, I think, is headed out of town, too.
Oh, okay.
So that might be part of the issue.
Yeah, but we'll continue to try to reach out.
Right. Yeah, he's got a date set with me already, and that's on May 21st.
Okay. So, well, I've maybe you can get him to confirm.
maybe.
Pressure's on.
The one, did you get a hold of Catherine Lopez Rajanimi?
I did email her. I haven't received a response yet.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah.
So, Catherine, if you're listening or somebody knows Catherine, she's very well known in the Bullhead City area. Have her call the Chamber and Radio Central.
That would
so
be wonderful, yeah.
And Brandon, are you good with the questions? Because I've got my own for the show for the candidates.
We've got a long list of questions. We've been asking them weekly in the paper, but we've got a whole set of questions we plan to ask at the forum and group.
The ones we've talked about, yeah.
And how's that going, by the way, your series?
The series of questions, good. We're finding that the way we're presenting them this time around actually helps define the candidates a little better than what we've done in the past, which is just a profile and a Q&A with each candidate. It tends to muddy the waters. It's hard to differentiate one person's position versus another on specific issues. This is really letting us drill down on the issues that are important and letting each candidate answer. And so we've had good responses to things like water use, the Go Lake Havasu issues that have been talked about recently.
Oh, I know.
All those things. We're seeing a real delineation in the candidates and where they stand on these issues. And I think, voters will be better educated for it.
What about shoreline access and development on the island or the second bridge? Is that part of your questioning as well?
We do plan to get into those issues. I don't recall if that's one of the specific questions. I don't think we get into it that specifically. But shoreline access, we are seeing as an emerging topic with the candidates where there's some difference. So we plan to get into that issue one way or the other.
Okay. Andrea, are you satisfied thus far as to how well the candidates' forums have run in the past up to now?
I mean, so I've been able to do the last
since
two,
you've
right?
Been on. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, the functions of the forums have actually been really great. The only thing I constantly am wanting to improve is the attendance.
You're always wanting to improve something.
We can always get better at anything that we do, but I definitely want to increase attendance. I think that it's important for, you know, the people to be able to meet the candidates. And so being able to get the electorate there to pay attention and in the room and to be able to engage is important. You know?
I always wonder how many are in attendance as to how many are listening.
Oh, yeah, and that's true. And I will say one of the things that has been communicated with me is the importance of us being able to live stream. So that's going to be one of those things that we need to make sure that we have in place for the forum. But again, butts in seats is not a bad thing.
We know the audience is beyond what we have on the stage. But that said, there used to be a time when Lake Havasu had four or five different forums for all the candidates.
Yeah,
and it was easy to attend one and not the other, but really this is the big one. This is the one that counts. There may be some other events going on, but this is the one where you'll get everybody in one place. They're talking about issues that matter, and it's important to see it for yourself as a voter. Not, you know, I'd love for you to read about it in the paper. I'd love for you to hear about it on the radio, but that's going through a filter, and you get to see it for yourself, hear what the candidates say, and have some FaceTime with them if you choose after the event is held.
I think that's great, too. I think one of the things that is important is that we built like a half an hour before the event and a half an hour after the event for some engagement, and I think a lot of the voters want to be able to directly engage with the candidates. So
I like the way we keep track of time.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so attractive to me, but having that clock, that scoreboard clock type, and candidates being able to see it, it's like it holds them accountable.
Yeah.
You know, because if you just say time, it doesn't mean anything. But if they can see that and it's counting down, and, you know, we have somebody that somebody that starts it on time, right?
Yeah.
That always works, too. So
I'd like to introduce the concept of a cane and pull them off stage if they go too long.
And we could do that. We could do that. The thing about having it on the radio, though, is the choreography with it. It's, that makes it different from any other candidate's forum. We have to get them on and get them off the stage or change places, whatever, in a certain amount of time.
Yep.
So that makes it tough. That's where I go into stage technician mode, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Stage manager.
It's definitely
whatever.
A dance.
Right, right. Do we have everything as far as, do we need donations or anything like for water, or are we good?
I mean, I think last year we had the realtors that were providing the water. If there is a business out there that wants to contribute, I think that would be really great. We didn't plan to have any food, but if anybody wants us to have food, yes, we do need donations.
So how does it work in the concourse? Because you have three mayoral candidates. Mm-hmm. One is a write-in, and our traditional policy has been what?
That write-in candidates are able to meet and greet with the people coming, but that they are not recognized on the panel simply because they're not formal candidates.
And this isn't the first time we had a write-in for mayor.
Yeah, correct.
And last election, the late Frankie Lyons was a write-in, and she understood that she couldn't be on the stage.
Yeah.
So it's just always been that way. The mayoral candidates that are qualified candidates have put in the work. They have they've gone and pulled their petitions, they've gone and gotten the signatures, and they went and turned them in on time.
I think more importantly, it's not even a judgment call that one person has worked and one hasn't. It's just we don't want to confuse voters more than necessary. And these are people, when you're a write-in candidate, you don't appear on the ballot. So we want the people on stage to reflect who you will see on the ballot, which is why we've talked about and uncontested elections also don't usually get on the stage here because we don't, you know, if there's, if there's no decision to be made, if they're not somebody you're going to see on your ballot, and anyway, because you're a Republican voter and there's only one candidate running as a Democrat, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have that debate at this time. So we try to focus on the areas where there's a real decision to make and who these voters will see on their ballots for sure.
And that is the case with Brian McMahon.
Yes.
Brian, a Democrat running for Legislative District 30 state rep. And what, there's five other candidates on the Republican side, though, right?
But you know what? It's the case for every election. We have uncontested elections in every cycle. The county board of supervisors, this is an off year for that, but they run all five elections at once. Usually they're uncontested, most of those races. Not always. We don't have those guys on the stage for this. We usually give them a couple of minutes to give a stump speech to introduce themselves, and that's where we draw the line.
So we have the mayor and two council seats or three? It's two, right?
Geez, there's so many candidates, I've lost track of
I know,
of the
put
seats.
Them on the spot.
I believe that's right.
What's two.
Jenny Koch's an incumbent, right?
Yes.
Michelle Lynn's an incumbent.
But Jim Dolan's seat is also up. So
oh,
it is
true.
Three.
Yeah.
It's three seats and the mayor.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then I know Kimberly Zanon is going to be on the second half of this hour.
Yep.
And, yeah, she's already here.
Yeah.
Talk about punctual, right?
We were just talking about Impact 928.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't even have to worry about that. And then how many other candidates for city council?
Other candidates? Well, there's, seven total candidates for city council.
Let's see if you can name them.
Oh, geez, I can't.
No?
Don't put me on the spot like that.
No?
I'm going to leave somebody out if I try.
Well, it's Sam, number one.
Yeah.
Neil Tinsley.
Yeah,
Kimberly Zanon,
Jenny Koch, Michelle Lynn, Neil Tinsley.
I can't remember her name.
Did you already say Neil?
I think I did.
Yeah.
Yes, Neil Tinsley. And then
Terry Parcells.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That might be, geez, I probably forgot somebody, didn't I?
Did you get Harrison?
Yeah, Taylor Harrison.
Taylor Harrison, yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Good. And those, we've got everybody but Jenny and Terry Parcells that are scheduled for Speak Out. Oh, and Michelle. Michelle teaches, though, right?
Yes.
I've talked to her before. I'll have to make, we're going to have to make some concession
for Michelle. I mean,
we're
in summer break after this week, I think.
Oh, good. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
after
I was just
going
to say, I think you've got about 2 weeks before school's out, so she'll probably be available once school's out.
Coming up on Speak Out, though, we have Sam on Sam Scarmardo. On May 21st, Cal Sheehy on May 26th, Leo Biasucci on the 29th, Neil Tinsley also on the 21st, that's on the other half hour with Sam Scarmardo, David Rose on the 27th, Taylor Harrison on the other half hour with David Rose, and David, of course, running for LD 30 state rep. Kim Zanon today. We've got Catherine Haley. She's a state treasurer candidate.
Oh, that's great.
I think I have all three state treasurer candidates, Republican and Democrat.
That's great.
That are going to be. I've never interviewed a state treasurer candidate before this year, so
that'll be a good conversation.
Right, right. And I've already interviewed her opponent, and he was on the air, Elijah Norton. He's already been on. David Johnson, River Dave, will be on this Monday, May 18th. Grace Hecht on the 19th, and she's running for Legislative District 30 state rep. And then John Grappentine will be on a week from this Friday.
That's great.
So there you go. We do afford the write-in candidate an hour. So
that's
just
great.
Just like the other candidates. So.
Well, and we hope that he'll join to have a booth at the event, so we'll see.
Right. So how do people get a table at the event for the in the concourse? Did we mention that already?
So that's been emailed out to any of the candidates who responded positively to the save the date and the RSVP. There's already been an email out to let them know that they're going to be provided with a 6-foot table, and then in the concourse there'll be different areas organized so that they can come set up distribute any of their materials.
Oh, Caroline Strecker. That's it. She said she complimented me for saying her name right, by the way.
Yeah.
Caroline, not Carolyn, Caroline Strecker is her second appearance will be on June 1st. She'll have a second half hour.
Okay.
And then what is his name? Mansoor, who's running for treasurer. He's also in June. So
okay.
He'll be here in person, live, which is interesting. So the other treasurer candidates were recorded.
Oh, okay.
Do we want to take a break right now? Or
sure.
Do we want to discuss some upcoming chamber stuff that's coming up?
That would be wonderful.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay.
And we are going to go to break. You're listening to Speak Out on KNTR 106.7, 5, and 3, Voice of the Free. You can give us a call, 928-854-5687. Tell you what, if you want those slider safari passes that we have, we got, she left like 20 of them.
That's great.
And two, they don't call them VIP, they call them like preferred entry or something like that. I think we have one of those left, and you can get up to four passes. Just give what is the heck is her name? Marissa June a call. Man, I got Jeopardy brain right now, right?
trying to remember too many names.
Bad Jeopardy day. 928-855-9336. That's the office. Marissa June waiting for your call. And she'll sort it out for you as far as the slider safari passes go. That is this Friday from 4 to 8 p.m. at London Bridge Beach. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You got to saddle up your boys. You got to draw a hard line. When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune. And this piece of ground, we didn't get to keep them by backing down.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Got another about 5, maybe 10 minutes with Andrea Hellert and Brandon Bowers. And you guys always have fun when you're on the radio, huh?
We do.
You can't do election night with me, though. What's that all about?
Well, we can figure out a way. Can you hear me? Yeah. We can figure out a way to get it done. I can't be here physically because I have a whole newsroom to monitor. Actually, several newsrooms to monitor for election night coverage.
How many newsrooms now?
Well, depends on your definition, but we have three locations, Havasu, Bullhead, and Kingman.
Right,
where we'll
right,
be covering
right.
the election. Wickenburg, too, but they're kind of outside of our scope.
I always forget about Kingman. You didn't give me access to the Daily Miner.
Oh, well, so, we can fix that.
That would be good. Now Andrea knows all our trade secrets, right?
Heck yeah.
All right.
I need in.
Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet, and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, A&B Propane, they're at abpropaneaz.com, and by, excuse me, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Don't forget, we stream live, and our show archives are at kntrtalk.com. You're talking about streaming the forum. Everything that's on the air is on the stream, so that should work. We'll be streaming. Let's see. Chamber business.
Yes.
What's happening with the chamber? You have a big annual event
coming
up, huh?
Yeah. So for those people who don't follow all the chamber biz, we always have an annual celebration of business, which is usually our annual membership meeting, but it's also a really big celebration of our community. So we have up to 14 different community-based awards. Some of them are for chamber member businesses, some of them for non-chamber member businesses, and some of them are like individuals and nonprofit organizations. We actually added a nonprofit category this year. So I'm really excited. And one of the best blessings of that is that we get to really get to recognize people in the community that are going above and beyond, and businesses that are really going above and beyond to be models in the community. But the annual dinner is coming up on June 12th. It's from 5 to 8 p.m., and it's going to be over at the London Bridge Resort with the theme of Yacht Rock.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Your shirt would be perfect.
It would, wouldn't it?
It would.
I love this shirt. It's not
palm trees everywhere.
And it's not a button-down. It's a polo.
Yeah.
I've got a couple like this. Yeah. So.
And does it come with a complimentary captain's hat?
I'd have to ask Amanda. Maybe there'll be one at every table. You might have to share.
I like the Yacht Rock event at First Friday. Everybody had one of those hats on. It was in the audience. It was great.
Yeah.
What are the categories?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I thought you had them written down.
No, I don't have them written down. Oh, but there's like 14 of them.
My bad.
That's okay.
Oh, there are. Who's the defending business of the year, for example?
Well, the citizen of the year is Christine Buntemeyer over at the Clothes Closet.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So she and if you remember, the citizen of the year always gets to lead. They're the lead in the parade, Bridge Parade.
Right.
So we're very excited about that. We're in the middle of confirming all of our presenters, so last year's winners get to come and present. And so I don't know if there's a leading business because there's several different business awards, but the Citizen of the Year is always really special.
You have to be careful about what you give the Citizen of the Year, what duties you give them, right? like leading the parade. That's a good one.
Yes.
A shy person can do that.
Yes.
But as far as emceeing your event,
No.
That would be tough.
No, but the citizen of the year really is, you know, a person in the community that stands out and has really made huge contributions in the community. And Christine is definitely one of those people. So I was really grateful to be able to honor her last year.
That's
for that.
A tough choice. Any year.
It is. Well, and the hardest part for us as a chamber is getting the nominations. Like, you would think that people all over the community are, you know, ready and willing to put in the information, but it's very difficult to get the wider community to pay attention to those nominations of those awards. So I think every year what we're always looking for is a wider reach, you know, more citizens, because we want to make sure that we're looking at the whole different community.
I think it's easy to make the assumption that somebody else will do it. You can think of five or six people off the top of your head who deserve to be nominated.
Yeah.
But you think, somebody else will do that for me. I don't need to be the one that does it. But it's a small town, and if somebody doesn't speak up, maybe nobody does.
That's right.
You guys just had a move, didn't you?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Did you do an open house after that?
No, we have a chamber
cutting.
Event. The ribbon cutting has been changed a couple of times. I don't know the date anymore.
Oh, you are doing a future ribbon cutting?
Yeah.
This fall,
nice.
I think it's this fall.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be in the paper, right?
We're celebrating a couple anniversaries, so we want to do it all at once. It's a 60th year might be the 61st by now, but it's 61 years, I think, for the Lake Havasu City Herald.
Whoa.
30 years for the News Herald itself, since the merger of the two papers happened. So big news for us.
I can't believe it's been 30 years already.
Yeah, 1995, so 31 years, really.
How many for you?
12. I hit 12 years yesterday.
Oh, I hit 6 in March.
Wow.
Well, this time, 6.
Well, I'm at 3.
Yeah, I was at, I did 3, 3.5 the last time I was here, so, before I left for the nonprofit world. So, anything else you want to add? A lot of times, Michelle will bring in some of your new businesses that are chamber members, or I want to give a shout out or a salute. I don't like the word shout out. Actually, I want to give a salute to one local business that's brand new. I had a very good time there at their soft opening. It was Broken Yoke Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, they've been
busy.
Their servers are so friendly.
They are.
And
are.
And the food is very good.
Absolutely.
One time I just had a standard breakfast because it was free. Mm-hmm. But when I paid for it, I got the Eggs Benedict.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
I had one the other day, actually. We went for Mother's Day.
And you like it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
did you eat outdoors or in?
We ate in like the covered glass patio area.
Yes, it was outdoors.
It was really beautiful.
Yeah,
it was great. I mean, it was warm out, but it was great.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Nice. Yeah. Have you been there yet, Brandon?
No, not to Broken Yoke. I've been seeing the busy photos.
Yeah.
I'll wait for a while.
That's what
good.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
They wait till the buzz wears off.
Wait till
they
figure it out, right?
Yeah,
wait till
exactly.
It's really well done.
Right. Anything else you guys want to discuss? We want to mention that June 17th is the magic day. Magic night.
Yeah. So June 17th, again, the candidate forum will be at the Lake Havasu High School PAC, so the Performing Arts Center. We are starting the meet and greet at 5 p.m., and then the panel will start directly at 5:30 p.m., and it should go till about 7:30, and then we'll have a little bit of time to meet and greet after as well. So we really want to make sure that the public comes and attends and engages. Outside of that, you know, the chamber is just getting ready for its regular board retreat and getting ready to launch all of the cool stuff that we've got coming in July, but I can talk to you about that in June.
And you're the hostess of the forum, of course.
Yes.
Brandon and I are moderators.
Yeah.
We're the question askers.
You don't want to really have a debate.
This thing is so down to a science on the timing and everything. There's nothing to moderate, really, other than occasionally having to speak up and going, hey, you're going over your time. But there's nothing to moderate. We're just really professional at our jobs now.
So. Someone asked me, why isn't it a debate? And I'm like, well, I really don't want to take sides or be perceived as taking sides with anybody.
Nope.
You know, because once you break up an argument and you say, you know, or your time, you're way over time, something like that. Well, people get mad at you.
Well, and honestly, I feel like the purpose of this candidate forum is education.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're educating people on the candidates that they get to choose from, and we want to get them to know the people that they get to choose from, right? So we're not there to have an argument.
Our biggest role is to keep them on task, because sometimes people stray from the question you ask, or maybe they purposely don't answer the question you ask, but we keep them back on task and say, okay.
We want them to answer the questions that are relevant.
We heard what you said, now what's the answer?
And keep those cheering sections down to a dull roar and wait until after, you know, both candidates have spoken, especially in the mayor's race, right? That one's going to be tricky, I have a feeling. There's going to be some cheering sections there, you think?
It's possible.
Right. It's a passionate election. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for being here, you guys. Andrea Hellert, CEO of the Lake Havasu Area Chamber, and, of course, Brandon Bowers, editor for River City Newspapers, regional editor.
Regional editor, but I'm in Havasu, so
I didn't write down regional because you told me that after.
Just editor.
Just editor. Right on. Hey, Daisy was in here. Did a great job, by the way.
We like Daisy.
She's good on the radio, I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'll steal her for election night.
She's got to be there, too.
Daisy's great. And I do want to give a shout-out to Dylan as well. Dylan looks amazing.
Oh, he does a good job.
Your education reporter.
He does a good job.
He does.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Kimberly Zannon is coming up next. She's a candidate for Lake Havasu City Council, our first council candidate that's been on. So Kim's right here in the studio, and back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out if you want to ask Kimberly a question, 928-854-5687. Stay with us. It's America. We're back on Speak Out, and our next guest is here. Of course, Kimberly Zannon, no stranger to Speak Out. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
We're normally talking about Impact 928. Why do I call it Project 928?
You know, because when there was all the bickering on the social media where you had some people kind of going against, they started calling it that. So, but yeah, it was never called Project Impact 928 or Project 8 or whatever they were calling it. But it's Impact 928.
Okay.
Yes. And I was making comments. I said, boy, I sure do like coming in talking to you about kids more than politics. But here we are. I said, unfortunately, when you run for office, you're going to have to come talk politics.
Hey, you're fresh off an endorsement, and we'll get to that in a second. Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also Springburg Wealth Management, by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, by Solar Power, by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, and we have a new sponsor.
Who's that?
From the mind of Dallas Finch, can you imagine, comes Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. No kidding. It's also the home to the Booby Dropper, he says.
I haven't been in yet.
Main Street Havasu. I have not either, although I should.
Yeah.
So anyway, back on Speak Out. Kimberly Zannon, our guest, 928-854-5687, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. Tell us about the endorsement.
Well, I was pretty excited. A couple of weeks ago, the Association of Realtors reached out to, I guess, the candidates to go in for interview. I was there for about an hour interviewing. As you know who I am, I don't pretend to be anything I'm not and so forth, so I spoke my heart and who I am, and I did get the call yesterday that they have made the decision to endorse me and also, you know, do some funding for my campaign. So that was, it was a humbling feeling for me because it feels good to know that you can go out and just be real and not pretend to be something you're not, and people will appreciate it.
You're not a real estate person, are you?
I was a real estate agent in California, but I did not come here and do real estate.
Very interesting. Yeah. And the campaign donation as well, so we can make that public, right?
Yes.
All right. These questions, by the way, to Kimberly, are the questions we're going to use for everybody. And this is not scripted. She has not seen these questions. So this is on the fly. Nothing tough, though.
Yeah.
What, if anything, would you change about how the Lake Havasu City Council conducts business, communicates with the public, and handles major decisions?
Well, so I've gone to a few of the city council meetings. I think that, you know, they do their best to really get it out there. I notice on social media they promote it. Hey, come to the meetings. They're not a group of people saying we're a closed door. They do open the door, so I appreciate that, and I think that should be kept open that way. Getting the knowledge out there for the citizens to be able to come and watch, they do a pretty good job. I mean, I know it's on a few different social media outlets, so I do see that. So that opens up. I love the fact that they have, you can watch it online. You don't have to watch it live. You can watch it later on. So to me, they do a really good job of really putting it out there for people to see. So I wouldn't change any of that. Maybe just keep up that hard work of getting it, you know, out there in the public to say, hey, it's interesting because, you know, when you go, unless it's a hot, hot topic, a lot of people don't show up. So it's how do you keep getting people engaged to want to show up to these meetings? So maybe different ways of, you know, reaching out to some of the younger people. Because, you know, I know a lot of young people that are working and doing things. They're not involved in what's happening, you know, on the social media, on some of those outlets.
Sure.
So maybe trying to find ways to figure out how can we engage some of the younger people to get more involved.
No, I get it. Do you like call to the public at the beginning of a meeting or at the end? And what is the reason for your decision?
So I used to be a big person on having it before because sometimes, you know, you want people to have that opportunity to speak. But a few meetings ago, we were talking about it, and it's kind of nice that they do have it after because some of your questions and frustrations could be fixed before it's that time.
Right.
But I do understand some of the public want it before because maybe they don't really care about all the issues that we're talking about, and they're there for, you know, sometimes, oh my goodness, I've been there where it's, you know, going on 5 hours of talking. So that's a tough one when you have, you know, some people that don't want to care too much about every issue but want to have that moment to be able to get their mind out. So that's a one that I think that we should really work on and maybe have it different times, like every other week. This week it's before, this week's after, and it gives people opportunity to be able to, you know, come when they feel like they want to talk.
I want to get into the Partnership for Economic Development in Go Lake Havasu right now. How should the city balance support for tourism and economic development? As it currently stands, two organizations that receive taxpayer support and work closely with the city are Go Lake Havasu and the Partnership for Economic Development. Is there anything that concerns you, Kimberly Zanin, about those two organizations and how they are funded?
Yeah, so I was at the meeting when we talked about that before the city council meeting, and I got distracted. But anyways, I feel there's some things that really need to be deeply looked into. That it really bothers me whenever we use taxpayer dollars for certain things, and the public's not getting full answers. And so to me, that's where I would really want to focus once I'm in is to go deep and then let the public know, hey, this is what the money's going to, and if it's not working, we need to change it 100%. So, you know, I can say this is how I would do it, but until you're actually in it and then you can go in it clean. I'm not going to go up there and do campaign promises. I'm going to get rid of this or do that, because until I have a full understanding what this money is going to and how it's going, you can't be the new famous word right now, and I hate using it, is transparency. It seems a new politic word, and it cracks me up because it's like everybody, oh, transparency. Well, people only want to be transparent when they want to talk about something, but they're going to hide the other stuff they don't. So,
good,
you know,
point.
That word drives me a little bonkers. But anyways, to let the public understand what's really going on. And I am a person that's just a regular citizen like everybody else. I don't own businesses here. I don't have alternative motives. So I think with me going in, it's going to be an open eye to what the citizens want, not what maybe my restaurant, business, whatever other people have here. I'm going in for the citizens and only the citizens, and so I'm just a regular person like everybody else.
What do you see as the single most important issue facing Lake Havasu City, and what would you do about it as a council member, that issue?
That's a tough one for me because I'm huge on public safety. I believe that if your public safety is not always on top of things, then your city falls apart. But I also am a little frustrated with our infrastructure, the infrastructure that's going on in our community. I don't understand why it's such a, all of a sudden it becomes such an issue. This should have been issues a long time. I've been here, you know, for 5 years, and I've seen just on our street alone since my husband and I went into our home, every so many months there's a water leak at the same location. So to me, it's been around for a while, and it's a big topic, which it should have been a long time ago, and I'm glad it's a big topic now.
Can you say what side of town?
I'm on off of the, like, a Rainbow area over there, off of Rainbow and Acoma. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so kind of middle part of town, I guess.
Sure.
But the whole town's a mess in every area. So, like, what area do you want? I think it would be easier to find the area that doesn't have an issue.
Yeah, it's water infrastructure, and it's 50 years old now.
Right. So I think that we need to get people in there. And also, again, we go back to who I am. I'm somebody that's not being pulled by either side. I'm going to be someone that's just going to listen to all sides, and let's see what's really going on in our community.
Okay. As the city finalizes its 2026 general plan update, pretty much going through the last stages before it goes on the ballot, what long-term vision would you have wanted to see reflected in Lake Havasu City's future growth?
The big one I'm going to be, and you know who I am about my our younger youth and our families, right? So I don't think we talk about it enough. We need to make sure our police department and our first responders are taken better care of. I was asked a year ago to run for city council because they wanted someone that's going to come in and stand strong for those departments. Mm-hmm. I think those are big departments that we really need to be a part of as well. I mean, yes, we all, you know, the hot topic is infrastructure, getting rid of, you know, the Go Lake Havasu. Those things are big topic that sure. A lot of people, but I know what's going on in our first responders, and I think I would love to see where we get stronger in that because we need to keep our police officers here.
In what way have they been weakened, those two?
A lot of times I know for a fact that they, you know, votes that came in that to give raises and be a part of it didn't go through so well. And I know with the general plan that, you know, we got to make sure that we work harder on keeping those facilities strong.
So let's shift over to housing.
Okay.
Do you have a solution to the city's housing situation that can actually be addressed at the local level, an actual policy?
I don't have an actual policy yet. I will definitely be working on those things. But what I see as our housing issues, you know, a lot of times people talk about, you know, housing market's way high. We also have a lot of the understanding that we need to start teaching some of our younger youth about, you know, debt to net ratios, how the credit scores work. There's a lot of other stuff that we need to work on to build our youth to know how to purchase a home. But, I think we need to slow down on a lot of the builds until we make sure infrastructure. So infrastructure has to be focused on before we start building. I don't understand how we build. And I'm a big supporter of, you know, growth. I make the comment all the time, like, you moved to a beautiful city near a beautiful lake. Did you really think nobody was coming? Like, you know, it's like you can't live in something so beautiful and then say, well, but we don't want nobody else to be here. That's silliness. Like,
boy,
let's have some common sense. Like, that's where people are going to be drawn to. And so we know that's coming. We know growth is coming. So now let's be smart with it.
You just provided the end of the argument on a lot of social media posts. All right. We're talking with Kimberly Zannon. She is a candidate for Lake Havasu City Council. And our next question, how should Main Street Commons fit into the city's larger downtown strategy? Or is that something that you would leave up to local business?
I think you don't just leave totally to local business. I think if you're a city council person that's mm-hmm. willing to sit down at the table with people. I think working as a team and getting the ideas from local businesses. I mean, they're the ones that are keeping this town alive, right? They bring in our income. They bring in the, you know, they have the businesses for our tourists to come visit. They are also the ones that help support our young families to have jobs and so forth. So their input is huge importance. And you have to be willing to sit down with everybody at the table and say, okay, what's some great ideas? I'm a person about solutions. I don't know if you do know me a little bit, but, you know, I'm not someone that waits around to get something done.
I make things happen.
Sure. I came here, you know, I always talk about, I came here 5 years ago. In that 5 years, look what I've already done with kids and families and different things. This wasn't, you know, a plan of mine. I didn't move to Havasu thinking I was going to do all this, but once I saw there's a need, I made it happen. And we need people in there that is not going to complain and say, well, I didn't get something done because of this reason. No, get it done. Make it happen. We can. And that's who I am. So,
is it the city council's responsibility to make sure the city supports local business events and community life?
I don't think it's necessarily their responsibility, but I think you could work as a team to make sure make sure that they're done properly. You don't want just any organization to come in and run their own ways. You do have to have some structure of law, but I don't think it's our responsibility, but I do believe that we can work with people and the people that are doing events and making those things a higher quality of events.
Okay. Yeah. So as a follow-up, I'm going to ask, major events like Desert Storm, for example, pay permit fees to host their event. Do you think it's fair that those events are charged fees even though they're bringing in major sources of tax revenue?
Well, I think this, if you're going to charge fees to one group, you're going to charge fees to all. I don't think any, it doesn't matter how much you're bringing in. If I think everybody should be treated equally. So, because there's might be a small event that could still bring some positive to our community. Maybe they don't have the money like Desert Storm does, but they all, I think they should be an equal fee to all people.
Okay. Is there a city policy or a practice that's currently in place that you would vote to change immediately if you were elected?
I would have to say not right at this moment. There's not a policy that I'm looking at like I can't wait to get into change. I know there's some candidates out there talking about policies that aren't really true, so that kind of bothers me.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Is there a cause that you would champion if you were elected in your first 4 years?
The cause what I would be championing for is going to be our younger youth and trying to build our community and help our the people that are really struggling financially here. We need to build our young families, our youth, our the growth that's going to happen here. You know, in 10 years, I'm going to be older. We're all going to be older. Some of us might not even be around in 10 years, right? But I know my daughter and my nephew are raising their family here, and that's important to me. I want my family and everybody else's family to be able to have a city that they can feel proud of and grow and actually survive in financially.
Right.
So that is a huge part of who I am.
Okay. Winding it down, we have about 3 minutes left. Recent island development proposals have renewed questions about shoreline access and preservation. What standards or guarantees should the city require before approving island and shoreline proposals?
Well, when I sat in on that meeting as well, you know, it sounded to me like they're keeping that the shoreline act available to everyone.
The waterfront?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They're keeping that all available, which is, you know, a big part of those communities, because there are some communities that you can't really go into. I mean, Beachcomber, you can't just walk in there and go to their parts of, you know, so
right.
There's already some restrictions going on there. I think it should be, I'm glad when I was in that meeting listening to the fact that they talked about it. We're going to keep it open. Now, on that being said, you need to make sure that the city council stays on that and don't let them slide something in that will change that policy.
So do you support the second bridge, and give us your interpretation of the project?
I do support the second bridge, just because of the fact that my husband and I have been on the other side of that island on multiple occasions.
Stuck?
Yeah, and you're trying to get across this bridge, and so my husband's a retired police officer, and his mind is like, I don't understand why they don't have this process different. So, and for safety, I'm a huge safety person, right? Public safety is my big thing, but, you know, it's going to bring availability for those people to get on and off, to open that bridge up. There's going to be times, what if that bridge, I mean, it's an old bridge. There's going to be, what major maintenance come on that? And guess what? Now what are we going to do? So there's a lot of other things that need to be talked about, why that bridge is important too. Now I know it's, you know, pushed behind, but I haven't ever done any construction, even when I'm doing construction myself, that it's on schedule. So
right.
I get what they're saying. And I know I was sitting in on that meeting as well when they talked about, you know, they were waiting on a permit. Well, government shutdown didn't help it. So there's, you know, people need to understand there's a little bit more in the background than just a yes or no to these things. So I hope that more people will dive deeper and maybe come to these meetings so that they can really hear what people are talking about.
So I'm going to take the last minute and a half.
Okay.
Tell people who Kimberly Zanin is and why did you make the decision to run for city council?
So who I am, I'm just an average person who truly cares about our community, who loves what she gets to do every day to help support families and children and other people in the community that are just struggling. My heart is true. My heart is gold. I don't pretend to be something I'm not. If you meet me, when you see me out in the public is what I am at home with my family, with my children. One of the most important things to me is when I know my husband and my children are proud of me. When they tell me that, I know I'm on the right track. My kids are 30 and 35, but I still represent to them what I want them to be. And if I'm not being honest and truthful and being real outside in the public and they see that change, then I'm not representing who I want my children to be, and that's still important to me. But I also have one more thing before you cut me off.
No, I'm not cutting
it's
you off.
It's my sweet husband's birthday today, so I'm going to give a shout out to my husband, who is truly is the like the strength behind it. I mean, this man.
He's your rock?
He is a rock because I'm a crazy. I mean, think about being married to this. I mean, I come home multiple times. When I ran for state senate, I don't know if you knew this, but I literally stood up in front of Sonny and Leo and said, I'm running for state senate, and I came home and I said, hey, honey, guess what I just did today? And this man has to put up with that crazy 24/7. So I'm truly blessed to have him and be a part. And I'm glad he was able to come with me today.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. Happy birthday. And Kimberly Zannon, again, the city council candidate. And thank you for being here.
Thank you. I always appreciate it. So next time I come, hopefully I'll be talking about kids again.
And Impact
928. That's way more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm going to take my last break of the hour. Stay with us on Speak Out. Again, the archives, if you missed any part of that interview, are at kntrtalk.com. And, oh, we still have Slider Safari tickets. Call 928-855-9336. Welcome back to Speak Out. A quick final shot. We've got Ron Gould is on deck for tomorrow. Ron Gould will be in the studio. And the ladies from Pace will be here. Ron doesn't know it yet. Well, maybe he does now because he's probably listening. But he's going to be doing the Pace drawing. It'll be the last 15 minutes of the show. And they've got some great prizes. I know a lot of you have already bought tickets. You're going to be listening. And, tomorrow on Speak Out. Up next, Hannity. It's Karate Man. After news and a short break.
KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.